Okay, let's get started. Today, we're doing a deep dive into something pretty specific, but definitely relevant for quite a few of you listening. It's about owning and, more importantly, maintaining a Land Rover. And we're zeroing in on the unique driving conditions right here in Dallas, Texas.
That's right. Our source material for this is actually a guide, a really focused guide on Land Rover service and repair, specifically for the DFW area.
Right. And our mission here is basically to unpack that guide, pull out the key insights, the really critical stuff.
Exactly. So you, if you own one of these vehicles, can feel, you know, more informed, make smarter decisions about looking after it.
Because let's be honest, it's a luxury vehicle, a high performance machine, and it's a significant investment.
It absolutely is. And the main thing the guide stresses right away is, well, these vehicles, your Range Rover, Discovery, Defender, whatever model, they scream luxury, they scream capability, but they really demand expert care, specialized care. It goes way beyond what your average mechanic can typically offer.
And that's what we want to dig into. Why is that? And what should you actually be looking for?
Exactly. The guide really clarifies that.
So let's start with the engineering itself. Why are Land Rovers so different? It's this like unique mix, isn't it?
It really is. British luxury, that rugged off-road DNA, and then just layers of really advanced tech.
Yeah.
And the guide points to some key systems immediately. Things that signal, you know, this isn't your standard service job.
Like what? What stands out?
Well, first off, the adjustable air suspension. You find it on a lot of models.
Right. Gives you that smooth ride, the off-road height.
Exactly. But those systems, they're sensitive. They have components, airbags, compressors, valve blocks that are prone to wear over time.
And diagnosing a problem isn't straightforward.
Not at all. It's not just mechanical listening. You need specialized diagnostic computers just to communicate with the suspension control module and figure out what's actually failing. Is it a sensor? A leak? The compressor itself.
Yeah. What else?
Then you've got the proprietary all-wheel drive and the terrain response systems.
Ah, yeah. The different modes for snow, mud, sand.
Precisely. But behind that dial, it's incredibly complex. It's not just gears. It's heavily driven by software and electronics.
Constantly adjusting power delivery based on sensors.
Right. Based on what the vehicle thinks the conditions are. So troubleshooting that requires understanding the software logic, not just mechanical parts.
And the guide mentioned construction, too. Something about aluminum.
Yeah, some models use advanced aluminum unibody construction. Great for weight and rigidity.
But you have an accident.
Exactly. Repairing that aluminum structure needs specific tools, specialized welding techniques, different training. Your corner body shop probably isn't equipped for that. They might know steel. But aluminum is a whole different ballgame.
Okay, that makes sense. But you said maybe the biggest thing is software.
I think so, yeah. The proprietary software and all the ECUs, the electronic control units.
The brains of the car.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything talks to everything else. Engine management, transmission, suspension, even the infotainment screen, the climate control. It's all networked.
And you need special tools just to talk to it.
Absolutely critical. To read fault codes accurately, to program a new component, say, a new sensor, or even a battery sometimes, or to perform software updates, you need factory-grade scan tools. The guide specifically calls out tools like Autologic or the official JLR Pathfinder system.
JLR being Jaguar Land Rover.
Correct. Without those tools, a mechanic is essentially flying blind on a modern Land Rover.
So it really highlights why, you know, a general mechanic, even a really good one.
Right. Even someone fantastic with, say, American trucks or Japanese sedans.
Might just not have the specific training or the expensive diagnostic tools or the software access needed for these particular vehicles.
It's not a knock on their skill. It's just these are different beasts technologically.
Okay. So that's the inherent complexity. Now let's layer on Dallas, our specific environment.
Yeah. Because Dallas isn't exactly gentle on vehicles, is it?
Definitely not. You've got the intense heat, really dry air sometimes, and just endless stop-and-go traffic, especially in certain areas.
And the guide suggests these conditions really do add unique stresses. They seem to actually accelerate some of the common Land Rover issues.
Such as, what gets worse here?
Well, those air suspension leaks we talked about.
Yeah.
The Dallas heat, it can make the rubber components in the air struts and the seals in the compressor degrade much faster.
Yeah.
It's a known weak spot that the climate here just seems to exacerbate.
Okay, heat kills rubber. Makes sense.
And something absolutely critical in Texas summers, the cooling system.
Oh, yeah. You do not want to overheat here.
No way. The guide highlights thermostat failures, coolant leaks, water pump issues. These are major concerns because if your cooling system fails in 100 plus degree weather, engine damage can happen incredibly fast. Catastrophic damage.
So keeping that system healthy is paramount.
Non-negotiable, really. Proactive checks are key.
What about the transmission?
That comes up too. Especially as these vehicles get higher mileage, say on a Discovery Sport or an Evoque, you might notice some shuddering during shifts, or maybe a delay.
Okay.
The analysis suggests this often traces back to the transmission fluid breaking down faster in the heat, or potentially issues with the torque converter being stressed by all that city driving.
Constant start-stop, yeah.
Exactly.
In electronics, we mentioned the complexity. Does the heat affect those too?
It certainly doesn't help. But the guide mainly points to sort of inherent electrical glitches being common. Things like infotainment screens freezing, maybe the backup camera goes wonky, parking sensors acting up.
The dreaded electrical gremlins.
You've got it. Especially noted in models from around, say, 2014 to 2020. And again, pinpointing the cause of those glitches, you need those rover-specific diagnostic tools.
Yeah.
It could be a sensor, a module, a wiring issue, or even software.
Right. Not something you want someone guessing at.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah.
And finally, just good old-fashioned leaks.
Oil leaks.
Yep. Oil leaks, gasket failures. Valve cover gaskets are common, oil pan gaskets, sometimes the rear main seal. The guide mentions these often start showing up north of maybe 80,000 miles.
And the heat cycles probably don't help the seals last longer?
Probably not. That expansion and contraction isn't ideal for gasket longevity.
Okay, so you take that built-in complexity, you add the Dallas stress factors, and it becomes really clear why just waiting for something to break is a bad strategy.
A very expensive strategy, potentially.
Proactive inspections, scheduled maintenance. They're not just nice to haves. The guide frames them as essential for avoiding huge repair bills.
Absolutely. And that leads directly to the next big point. The critical need to find a mechanic you can trust who is specifically specialized in Land Rovers.
Okay, so how do you find that person? What qualities does the guide say to prioritize when you're looking for a Rover mechanic in Dallas?
There are a few key things.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost is training. Look for technicians who are genuinely factory trained, or at the very least have ASC certifications. That's Automotive Service Excellence, a good baseline standard, but specifically with deep experience working on European vehicles, and ideally Land Rovers in particular.
Experience matters a lot here.
A huge amount. Second, parts. They need to be using the right stuff.
Meaning OEM parts, original equipment manufacturer.
Ideally, yes.
Yeah.
OEM parts. Or high-quality OE equivalent parts. These are aftermarket parts, but they're built to the exact same specifications as the originals.
So they fit right, work right.
Precisely. Using cheap, off-brand parts on these systems can cause all sorts of compatibility issues or just fail prematurely. It's false economy.
Okay. Training, parts, what else?
Those diagnostic capabilities we keep mentioning. It's non-negotiable.
The Autologic, the JLR Pathfinder.
Exactly. They must have those professional-grade tools to properly diagnose and program the vehicle's systems. Ask them what diagnostic platform they use for Land Rovers.
Good tip. What about communication?
Huge. Absolutely key. You want transparency. Look for shops that provide things like digital inspection reports.
With photos.
Yeah, photos or even videos showing you exactly what they found. Clear, written estimates before they start any work are crucial, too.
And they should explain things clearly.
Without jargon, without pressure, without trying to upsell you on services you don't actually need right now, you need to feel comfortable asking questions.
And the warranty they offer, does that tell you anything?
Oh, definitely. It speaks volumes about their confidence in their parts and their workmanship. A reputable independent shop should offer at least a 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty.
Okay.
But the guide actually highlights that some of the really top-tier independent Rover specialists in the Dallas area go further. They might offer 24 months or even 36 months, 36,000 miles on their repairs.
Wow, that's like a dealership warranty or better.
It can be, yeah. That shows real confidence and provides serious peace of mind for you as the owner.
And lastly, the guide mentions the facility itself.
Right. Does the shop look like it specializes in complex European vehicles? Do they have specific equipment? Maybe model-specific jigs or lifts. Proper alignment tools calibrated for Land Rover specs.
And the software licenses?
And importantly, yes, are they paying for the necessary software licenses to keep their diagnostic tools and programming capabilities up to date? It all adds up to a picture of specialization.
So a good specialist needs to cover a lot of ground then. It's not just fixing what's broken.
Not at all. A true expert Rover mechanic should handle the whole spectrum.
Okay, like what? Routine maintenance first.
Definitely. Your scheduled oil changes, using the specific synthetic oil grade Land Rover requires. Filter replacements, oil, air, cabin filters, fluid flushes at the right intervals, brake fluid, coolant, transmission fluid.
All the basics done right.
Done right with the right materials. Then, obviously, diagnostics and repair.
Check engine lights.
Accurately finding the cause of that check engine light, not just clearing the code. Fixing those air suspension problems we talked about. Sorting out any electrical issues, whether it's infotainment or sensors.
What about bigger jobs? Drivetrain.
Absolutely. Drivetrain and transmission services are complex. Things like changing differential fluid, servicing the transfer case, performing a transmission flush, or if necessary, handling repairs.
Brakes too, obviously.
And critical
Couldn't help
safety systems, brake pad and rotor replacement, yes, but also understanding how that ties into the ABS's stability control systems, calibrating parking sensors or cameras if they're disturbed during service.
And given how common they are, that air suspension work.
Big one. They need expertise in full air suspension overhauls. That could mean replacing the compressor, finding leaks in the lines or air struts, replacing height sensors. It's a whole system.
So really comprehensive knowledge is needed.
Across the board, yeah.
Okay, let's talk money. Because specialized care usually sounds expensive. What does the guide say about typical service costs in the DFW area?
It does provide some estimated ranges, which is helpful, but remember, these are just ballpark figures.
Got it. So like an oil change.
For a proper synthetic oil change using the right spec oil, you're likely looking somewhere between, say, $180 and $250.
Okay. Brakes, pads, and rotors.
That's usually estimated per axle. The guide suggests around $600 to maybe $1,200 per axle, depending heavily on the specific Range Rover or Land Rover model.
Right, parts costs vary.
Exactly. Air suspension repair, that's where the range gets wider because it depends what failed. It could be $1,000 for maybe a sensor or a valve block, up to $3,500, or even more if you need, say, multiple air struts replaced.
Ouch. Okay, what about fluid flushes?
A coolant system flush is estimated around $200 to $350. A transmission service, like a fluid and filter change, might be in the $400 to $850 range.
And just finding out why the check engine light is on.
Just the diagnostic scan itself to read the codes and maybe do some initial checks, probably $125 to $175 typically.
Battery replacement.
Figure around $300, $500. Part of that cost is often the battery registration or programming required on these vehicles.
Right, it's not just swapping it out.
Not always, no. So again, these are estimates from the guide's research in the DFW area. Your actual cost will depend on your specific vehicle, which parts are used, OEM versus good aftermarket, and the individual shop's labor rate and expertise.
But it gives you a general idea of what to expect.
It does.
Now, if someone is looking for one of these specialists in Dallas, does the guide point to specific areas or neighborhoods where they tend to cluster?
It does, yeah. Based on the source, you're more likely to find reputable European and Land Rover specialists in areas like North Dallas and Addison,
Okay.
Plano and Richardson up north, Uptown and Oaklawn closer to the center, Irving and Las Colinas to the west, and also further north in Frisco and McKinney as those areas have grown.
So several pockets around the Metroplex?
Exactly. These tend to be hubs where you find that concentration of specialized auto repair.
This brings up a big question a lot of owners face. Dealership service versus finding a good independent mechanic. How does the guide compare those two options?
It lays out pros and cons based on several factors, specifically drawing from the source material.
Okay, like pricing.
Pricing generally, dealerships are almost always going to be more expensive for labor and often parts too. Independent shops usually offer more competitive, often significantly more affordable pricing for the same work.
Parts availability or type?
Dealerships will exclusively use OEM parts. Good independent shops, as we said, have the flexibility they can use OEM or they can source high-quality OE equivalent parts, which can sometimes save you money without sacrificing quality.
What about the technicians?
At the dealership, techs are factory certified, that's guaranteed. At independent shops, you'll often find technicians who are factory trained, maybe they previously worked at a dealership, or they might be highly experienced ASE master techs with deep European or Land Rover specific knowledge. You need to verify their credentials.
Turnaround time, getting your car back.
Can be a factor. Dealerships are often very busy, large operations, so sometimes turnaround can be longer. A smaller independent shop might sometimes be able to get you in and out faster, but not always. Depends on their workload too.
And the overall customer experience.
Dealerships usually offer a very polished, standardized experience. Maybe loaner cars, fancy waiting rooms.
Right.
independent shops, the experience is often more personal. You might talk directly to the owner or the actual technician working on your car. It can feel less formal, more relationship-based.
Then warranty. We touched on that.
Yeah, dealership repairs come with a factory-backed warranty, usually 12 months, 12,000 miles, sometimes longer on certain parts. Independent shop warranties vary, as we discussed. Some match the dealer, some are shorter, but some, as noted, offer those exceptional three-year warranties, which can be a major plus.
So what's the guide's bottom line on dealer versus independent?
The conclusion presented in the source is pretty clear, especially for Land Rovers that are out of their original factory warranty. A well-chosen, reputable, independent specialist often provide significantly better overall value. You get the necessary expertise, quality parts, potentially lower costs, and often more personal service experience. The key is finding that reputable shop.
Right. Doing your homework on the independent is crucial.
Absolutely essential.
Okay, so finding the right care is one thing. What about preventing problems in the first place, especially with those tough Dallas conditions? Does the guide offer specific preventative maintenance tips for Rover owners here?
It does, and they're tailored a bit beyond the standard owner's manual recommendations sometimes.
Like what?
Well, one big one is service intervals. Even if your manual says maybe 10,000 or 15,000 miles between oil changes, the guide strongly recommends servicing your Land Rover every 7,500 miles. If you're driving it primarily in Dallas conditions.
Why shorter?
That intense heat and the constant stop-and-go traffic just put extra stress on the engine oil and other fluids. More frequent changes help prevent accelerated wear and sludge buildup.
Okay, 7,500 miles. Good rule of thumb here. What else?
Remember the air suspension. Get it inspected annually, especially on Range Rovers and Discoveries, once they hit around 60,000 miles or so. Catching a small leak in a hose or a struggling compressor early is way, way cheaper than waiting for a catastrophic failure that leaves you stranded.
Makes sense. Proactive inspection.
Also, fluids beyond oil. The guide emphasizes flushing the coolant and the brake fluid every 2 years, regardless of mileage sometimes.
Why so often?
Brake fluid absorbs moisture over time, which lowers its boiling point, dangerous for braking performance, especially in heat. Coolant degrades and loses its anti-corrosion properties, which can lead to radiator or heater core issues. Again, critical systems for this climate.
Okay, 2 years for coolant and brake fluid. Got it.
And this might sound obvious, but pay attention to your dashboard. Don't ignore warning lights, even if the car seems to be driving okay.
Tempting to just hope it goes away.
Very tempting. But modern Land Rovers use really sophisticated diagnostic systems. That little light might be an early warning of a problem that's much easier and cheaper to fix now before it cascades into something major. Get it scanned promptly by someone who knows Rovers.
Good advice. Anything else?
One more thing, software updates.
For the car?
Yeah. It's not just for your phone. Manufacturers release software updates for vehicle control modules that can fix glitches, improve performance, or enhance how systems operate, sometimes even addressing potential reliability issues.
Can independent shops do these updates?
Some can, yes. Yeah. If they've invested in the proper JLR-compatible tools and subscriptions, they can perform many of these software updates. It's worth asking your specialist mechanic about it.
Okay, that's interesting. So bringing this all together then, the main takeaway from digging into this source material, especially for Dallas Land Rover owners, is that making the right choice about who services your vehicle is, oh well, it's fundamental.
It really is. It's crucial if you actually want to enjoy owning the vehicle long term, rather than constantly stressing about potential issues. It comes down to finding ongoing care from someone who truly gets the vehicle's unique engineering and the specific challenges it faces right here in Texas.
Right. So we've covered the why, the complexity, the Dallas factors. We've hit the what makes a good specialist mechanic, the services they need to offer.
Yep. And the how much those estimated costs, plus the where potential neighborhoods to look. And that key comparison, dealership versus a trusted independent.
And finally, those preventative steps to stay ahead of the game.
Exactly. And the guide really does seem to underscore the value of building a relationship over time with that mechanic. Someone who knows your specific vehicle, its history, its quirks.
That makes a lot of sense. It moves from transaction to partnership almost.
Sort of, yeah. In a way.
So this leaves us with maybe a final thought for you, the listener, to kind of chew on after this deep dive. How might investing in that specialized knowledge, in that consistent preventative care for a complex machine like a Land Rover, how might that do more than just potentially save you money by avoiding big breakdowns? Could taking that proactive approach actually fundamentally change your relationship with the vehicle itself? transforming that potential stress and worry into just continued enjoyment, confidence, whether you're driving across town or heading out across Texas.
Interesting way to put it.
And maybe even broader. What is this kind of engaged, proactive care for sophisticated technology, like a modern Land Rover? What might that reveal about how we relate to all the complex technology that fills our lives today? Something to think about.